بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to ayah number 67 from Surah Al-Baqarah. And in these next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's going to tell the story of when he ordered Bani Israel to slaughter a cow, a baqarah. And this surah, Suratul Baqarah, the reason why it was given this name is after this story. So Suratul Baqarah was called Suratul Baqarah because of this passage of the Quran in which the baqarah or the cow is mentioned over and over again. And to summarize the story before we read, the Bani Israel, amongst them they killed a man. And then they started arguing with each other, falsely accusing each other that you're the one who killed him, and he would say, no, you're the one who killed him. And therefore they were almost about to kill each other and start fighting each other because they wanted revenge and they were blaming each other. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made a clear sign for them to save them from this evil and this killing, the revenge killings. He said, why don't you slaughter a cow and then take a bone from that cow and hit it against another bone, and we will give life to the one who died, and he will tell you who is the person who killed him. And this is a story which is mentioned, and as usual we'll recite together first and then we'll go through the tafsir bi-idhnillah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Wa idh qala Musa liqawmihi,
وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً
قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا
قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا
قال أعوذ بالله أن أكون من الجاهلين
قال أعوذ بالله أن أكون من الجاهلين
قالوا ادع لنا ربك يبين لنا ما هي
قالوا ادع لنا ربك يبين لنا ما هي
قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة لا فارض
قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة لا فارض
لا فارض ولا بكر عوان بين ذلك
لا فارض ولا بكر عوان بين ذلك
فافعلوا ما تؤمرون
فافعلوا ما تؤمرون
قالوا ادع لنا ربك يبين لنا ما لونها
قالوا ادع لنا ربك يبين لنا ما لونها
قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة
قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة
بقرة صفراء فاقع لونها
بقرة صفراء فاقع لونها
فاقع لونها تسر الناظرين
فاقع لونها تسر الناظرين
قالوا ادع لنا ربك يبين لنا
قالوا ادع لنا
ما هي إن البقرة تشابه علينا
ما هي إن البقرة تشابه علينا
وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ
وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ
قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا
قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا
بقرة لا ذلول تثير الأرض
بقرة لا ذلول تثير الأرض
ولا تسقي الحرث
ولا تسقي الحرث
مسلمة لا شية فيها
مسلمة لا شية فيها
قالوا الآن جئت بالحق
قالوا الآن جئت بالحق
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 فذبحوها
فذبحوها
وما كادوا يفعلون
وما كادوا يفعلون
وما كادوا يفعلون
وما كادوا يفعلون
وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا
وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا
وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ
وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ
فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا كذلك يحيي الله الموتى
كذلك يحيي الله الموتى
ويريكم آياته لعلكم تعقلون
ويريكم آياته لعلكم تعقلون
ثم قست قلوبكم من بعد ذلك
ثم قست قلوبكم من بعد ذلك
فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة
فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة
وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار
وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار
try to recite it together إن شاء الله وإن من الحجارة
وإن من الحجارة
لما يتفجر منه الأنهار
لما يتفجر منه الأنهار
وإن منها
وإن منها
لما يشقق
لما يشقق
فيخرج منه الماء
فيخرج منه الماء
وإن منها
وإن منها
لما يهبط من خشية الله
لما يهبط من خشية الله
وما الله بغافل عما تعملون
وما الله بغافل عما تعملون
أحسن الله إليكم. So as mentioned before, these ayat are regarding the story which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells when Bani Israel, when they killed a person. And then they started falsely accusing each other that you are the one who killed this man. And they wanted to take revenge out on each other. They were almost about to kill each other. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His mercy upon Bani Israel, He sent them an ayah. And the ayah was for them to kill or slaughter a cow, and then Allah would resurrect the dead person and He would speak. And Allah Jalla fil Ula, He begins these ayat. He says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. When Musa alayhi salam, he said to his people, I Bani Israel, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ, verily Allah orders you, أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا, that you slaughter a baqara. And as I mentioned, Surah Al-Baqarah, it is named after this story because the Baqarah is mentioned over and over again. You'll notice from this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a very easy and simple command. idbahu baqara, slaughter a cow. So all they had to do was go and slaughter any cow. Just as Allah had ordered them to go slaughter a cow, the only thing which was upon them was to slaughter a cow. And look at their response. The first response they said, قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوَا. They said, O Musa alayhi salam, are you mocking us? Are you joking with us? And Musa alayhi salam, he replied to them. He said, قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. He, Musa alayhi salam, he replied, I seek refuge in Allah from the jahileen. And this is because the jahil, he is the one who speaks and mocks the people, or he speaks without knowledge, or he speaks without benefit. So the jahil, he does one of these three things. He either holds the people to be stupid, so he mocks them, or he speaks without any knowledge, or he speaks with something that has no benefit. And Musa alayhi salam, he wasn't doing any of these three. Rather, he was ordering them with a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why he freed himself from being from the jahileen. He's not mocking them, neither is he speaking without benefit, neither is he speaking without knowledge. Rather, he is speaking with a command from al-wahi. So then, once it was made clear to them that this command hasn't come from Musa alayhi salam, it has come from Allah. Then from the characteristics of the Yahud from Bani Israel is at-ta'annut wa at-tashaddud. And the meaning of at-ta'annut and tashaddud is like at-ta'ammuq, which means to delve too much into things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give them a simple command. Instead of obeying this command and carrying it out, they would delve into it too much. And this is something which the believers have been prohibited from. So we are not allowed to resemble al-Yahud wal-Nasara by delving too much into things. If Allah orders us with something, then fulfill that order. And also, the second characteristic of Bani Israel is asking too many questions. When there wasn't a need to ask a question, they would just carry on asking a question. And this was from at-ta'ammuq wa at-ta'annut. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. That verily, the thing which destroyed those people who came before you, كَثْرَةُ السُّؤَالِ, that they used to ask too many questions. Meaning they used to ask too many questions about something which has no benefit for them. And what was the first question they asked? They said, قَالُوا دُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. O Musa, go supplicate to your Lord, go ask your Lord that He shows us and He clarifies to us what type of cow is this. Allah ordered them to slaughter a cow. Any cow which they sacrifice and slaughter would have been accepted. But as a form of mockery and delving too heavily into things, they wanted to know what type of cow it was. So Musa alayhi salam replied that Allah says that it is a cow, لا فاردٌ ولا بكرٌ. It is neither too old and neither it is too young. عَوَانٌ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. But it is between that. Meaning it is a cow of moderate age. Go slaughter any cow of moderate age and it will be accepted. He said to them, فَفْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ. So obey that which you have been commanded to do. Leave off these useless questions. Leave off this ta'ammuk and ta'annut, delving too heavily into things and thinking too much about things, and just go obey the command of Allah. But they didn't accept. Then they said, قَالُوا دُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّ لَنَا مَا لَوْنُهَا. Go back to Allah and go ask your Lord, what is the color of the cow? And again, had they slaughtered any cow of any color, it would have been accepted from them. And so then Musa alayhi salam, he said, قَالْ إِنَّهُ يَقُولْ. Verily Allah, he says, إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ صَفْرَى. That it is a cow which is yellow in color. فَاقِعُ لَوْنُهَا. Very bright in its color. تَسُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ. And its color, it pleases the person who looks at it. I.e. a nice, pleasing yellow color. So again, they could have gone and slaughtered any cow of any moderate age which is yellow in color. But they carried on with their useless questions and they ta'ammuq and ta'annud. They said one more time, قَالُوا دُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِيَ. Go back to your Lord and go ask Him to clarify to us which type of cow it is. إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا. Because the cows, they all resemble each other. And this was the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the reason why He left the command general was to make easy upon them. Now go slaughter any cow. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the age, doesn't matter the color, doesn't matter what. Go slaughter any cow and our mercy will come. They said, إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا, because the different types of cows have, they confused us. وَإِنَّا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ, and then, inshaAllah, we will be guided. And then Musa alayhi salam, he said, قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ لَا ذَلُولٌ تُثِيرُ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا تَسْقِ الْحَرْثِ. Then he said, Allah says, it is a cow which isn't being used to farm the land, وَلَا تَسْقِ الْحَرْثِ, and neither is it used to irrigate the crops. مُسَلَّمَة, and it is free from any types of defects or illnesses. لا شيئة فيها, it has no imperfection in it. And then they replied after all of these questions, قالوا الآن جئت بالحق, now you have come with the truth. And this is ignorance, because Musa alayhi salam, he came with the truth right at the beginning, because all he ordered them was to go slaughter a cow. So the truth was very clear to them. And yet after all of this, they mocked him and they said, قَالُوا الْآنَ جِئْتَ بِالْحَقِّ, now you have come with the truth, as if previously he didn't come with the truth. And then Allah says, فَذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. So then they did slaughter it after all of this delay, and they were almost about to not slaughter it. Because of so many questions and delving too much into things, they were not about to slaughter it. And then Allah mentions the story, وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَدَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا. Why did Allah order them to slaughter this cow? وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا, because you, O Bani Israel, you killed an innocent person. فَدَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا, and then you started differing with each other and arguing with each other and about to fight each other. And as a mercy of Allah, as His ni'mah, وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ, Allah will bring out that which you are hiding. So by them slaughtering this cow, Allah was going to use this to bring out that which they were concealing, and Allah was going to bring out who the guilty person is. So when they slaughtered the cow, then Allah said, فَقُلْ نَضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا. We said to them that hit one limb of the cow with another limb, or hit one bone of a cow with the other bone of the cow which you have just sacrificed. And then when they did this, then Allah, He resurrected the one who had died, and then He mentioned who is the one who has killed him. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى. This is how Allah can bring the dead to life. وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ, and this is how Allah shows you His ayat, His signs. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so you may understand. A person might say, or a person might find it difficult to believe this story. And a person might say, how can Allah bring life to this person by hitting one part of the cow with another part of the cow? And the answer is easy. That if this is the Allah who can give existence to this creation from nothing. So this man and this cow, both of them were created from nothing. They were nothing and then Allah created them. Then it's even easier for him to give life to the dead. So what's more difficult? What would be more difficult to understand? That Allah gives life to something which did not occur, or Allah gives life to something which did occur and then it died? The second is easier. So if we believe that Allah is Al-Muhyi, He is the one who gives life, and He brings into existence from something which is non-existent, then as for the resurrection and al-ba'thu ba'd al-maut, all of this is even easier upon Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned the hardening of the hearts of Bani Israel. And this is because after Allah has shown them all of these ayat which we've been mentioning over the previous lessons, their hearts should have been softened by now. By now their hearts should be soft, because Allah has shown them ayah after ayah after ayah, and Allah said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so you may understand. But their hearts didn't become softened. They became hardened. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِكَ ذَلِكَ. Then your heart, it became hardened after that. And this ayat shows us that one of the things which causes a person's heart to be hardened is rejecting the ayat and not answering the call of Allah. So whenever Allah calls us to do something, we should answer it straight away. And if we don't answer the call of Allah, then perhaps the heart will become hardened like the hearts of Bani Israel. It become hardened afterwards, Ali, inshallah.
You know, with the hardening of the heart, is it like with the sunnah as well? So if you don't
Any command of Allah and His Messenger, the heart can become hardened.
Because some people like, they don't like honey. So Muhammad sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. Some people.
They don't like honey. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to have honey with in the morning, every morning, in the water. But some people don't like it. So will that cause a
harm? If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to do something as a form of worship, and then we don't do it, then this can cause the hardening of the heart. As for it being something from the dunya which has no relation to the worship, like for example, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with Khalid bin Walid, and then lizard meat was brought to them, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that us, the people of Makkah, we don't eat this, we don't like it. But Khalid bin Walid, he carried on eating it, and the Prophet remained silent. So because that wasn't linked to an act of worship, it was just the nature of people. Some people like this type of meat, some people like that type of meat, then there's no problem. So that which the Prophet and Allah orders in terms of worship. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He likened, or He gave an example of how hard the hearts of Bani Israel became because they rejected the truth. He said, فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَ, that their hearts became so hardened, it became like stones. And note how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't use metal, He didn't use sand, He didn't use wood, rather He used stones. Because the stone is the hardest type of surface. Even a metal, when you burn it, it becomes soft. And sand, when it is burnt, it becomes glass, and therefore you can mold it. And the metal can be molded. But the stone, doesn't matter how much you burn it, it will never become soft. And this is why Allah used the stone as an example. Because this is the hardest thing, which is even glass. If it's burnt, it can smash and it can break. But the stone, it remains hardened. In fact, the more you burn it, the harder it becomes. So for that reason, bricks, for example, they put in the furnace for a long time and they burn and burn and they heat it and they become stronger and stronger. In fact, Allah said, "O ashaddu qaswa," that your hearts, they became hardened after that as if they are stones. In fact, even more harder than stones. So there is something which is more harder than stones. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, how can the heart of a person be even more harder than a stone? He said, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ. Because some stones, even though they are hard, but water or rivers gush forth from stones. If you look at some of the rivers, you'll find that the bed of the river, it is all stone. And yet despite the bed being stone, still water is flowing and gushing out. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءِ. And there are other types of stones beneath which fountains will appear. So if you look at some springs and some fountains, if you look at the bottom of this spring or this well or this fountain, it is only stone. And yet despite this, water still gushes forth from the stones. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِتُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. And there are also those stones that when they fall down, they fall down out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah ended this ayah by saying, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. That Allah is not ignorant or negligent of that which you do. Rather, Allah records everything you do and everything you say. With regards to the last part of this ayah, when Allah said, وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِتُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, that there are some stones which roll down and they fall down out of the fear of Allah, or out of submission to Allah. Upon the believers to believe this. If Allah has told us in the Quran that there are those stones which fall down and they roll down because of the fear of Allah, then we believe this. Didn't one day the Prophet ﷺ stand upon Mount Uhud and with Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhu, and did the mountain start to shake, the whole mountain started to shake. Up until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Uhud, be calm. فَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ نَبِيٌّ وَصِدِّيقٌ وَشَهِيدًا. Because standing upon you is a Prophet and the truthful one and the two martyrs, i.e. Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhu. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say regarding the Qur'an, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Had this Qur'an been revealed upon a mountain, then you would see the mountain shaking out of the fear of Allah. And Allah also mentions that everything in creation, like the stones and the trees and the birds and the fish, all of them make tasbih of Allah. Allah said in the Qur'an, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ, that there is nothing except it makes the tasbih of Allah. It mentions the glorification of Allah. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحًا. But you humans, because of your weakness in hearing and seeing and your weakness of your abilities, you cannot understand the tasbihat. And didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us that when a person is in his grave, everything is able to hear the screaming of the person except the humans and the jinn. So this isn't something which is strange. So these ayat, the lessons that they teach us is, firstly, it is not allowed for a person to have tashaddud wa ta'annut wa ta'ammuq, to delve too much into things. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالتَّنَطُّعُ. Be aware of delving too much into things. Be aware of delving too much into things. Be aware of delving too much into things. And he repeated it 3 times. Also, asking too many questions. And this was especially the case when the wahi was being revealed. When the wahi or the revelation was being revealed, the companions, they were forbidden from asking too many questions. Because if they asked too many questions, maybe something which Allah had made easy upon them, it would become difficult. Because they asked the question. And there's a narration when Allah revealed the ayah, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Upon the people is to make hajj for the sake of Allah, the one who is able to perform it. And some of the companions, they said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, afi kulli aam, every single year? Do we have to make hajj every single year? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away, because he didn't want to answer that question. Then they asked again, O Messenger of Allah, afi kulli aam, every single year we have to make hajj? And the Prophet turned away. And then they asked again, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away. Or one companion asked amongst them. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called that companion. And he said to them that no, it's not every year, it's only once in a lifetime. He said, لَوْ قُلْتُ نَعَمْ لَوَجَبَتْ. But if I had said yes, then it would have been a wajib. وَلَوْ وَجَبَتْ لَمَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And if it had become an obligation, you would not have been able to do so. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you that upon the people is to make hajj for the sake of Allah, the one who is able to do so, then leave it at that. Don't ask too many questions. And Allah also said in the Quran, وَلَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاء إِن تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. Don't ask about those things that if then it is made clear, it will be harmful for you. And this was when the revelation was being revealed. So when the revelation was being revealed, whatever the Prophet ordered, they take. And whatever the Prophet leaves, they leave. And that which Allah and His Messenger stay silent about, then this is mercy for them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding Allah, وَسَكَتَ عَنْ أَشْيَاء, that Allah, He has remained silent about some certain things, غَيْرَ نِسْيَان. It's not because He's forgetful, but رَحْمَةٌ بِكُمْ, out of mercy for you. So that which Allah has remained silent about, remains silent about. And in another hadith, in Sahih Muslim, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا وَيَكْرَهُ لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا. Allah loves for you 3 things and He hates for you 3 things. And the 3 things which Allah hates, He said, قِيلَ وَقَال, spreading rumors, hearsay, he said and it was said, وَكَثْرَةُ السُّؤَال, and asking too many questions, وَإِضَاعَةُ الْمَال, and wasting your wealth. So the 3 things which Allah hates for the believers is قِيلَ وَقَال, spreading rumors and hearsay, and it was said and he said, wa kathratu su'al, and asking too many questions, wa ida'atul mal, and wasting wealth. And in many hadith like this, innama ahlaka man kana qablakum kathratu su'al, that which destroyed the people who came before you, ay bani Israel, is them asking too many questions. In terms of asking too many questions, where does this apply? The ulama mention that we don't understand this prohibition of asking too many questions in an absolute manner. In some situations we should be asking questions, and in other situations we shouldn't be asking too many questions. So firstly, when it comes to requesting from the people, so whether it's begging or asking for loans or asking a request, if there's a need for a loan, a person can ask. If there's a need for help, a person can ask, but not too many times, because this will return harm to you, because that person becomes irritated. That person, he feels as if, look how much I've done for you, starts then showing off as if he's generous. So don't ask too many times. Also, asking the ulama about issues which have no benefit. So when you ask a question to one of the ulama regarding the religion, then it should be asked about something which affects your ibadah or affects your aqidah. Something which your aqidah is based on, or something which your ibadah is based upon, then you ask. And other things which might be, which don't really have any relevance upon your ibadah, upon your aqidah, upon your iman, then you don't need to ask. And if there was any goodness in this question, the sahaba would have asked it. And you find, in fact, there is a narration in which the sahaba, they mention that when the A'rab, when the Bedouin would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask a question, we used to become very happy. Why? Because it wasn't from the etiquettes of the companions that they would ask the Prophet too many questions sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Out of respect for him and fearing his authority and out of veneration for him, they wouldn't ask too many questions. If a command came, they would fulfill it. If a prohibition came, they would stay away from it. And they will become happy when a person from out of Medina comes to ask a question. Notice in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, if you remember the long hadith, when Jibreel came in the form of a man and he sat with the Prophet, and nobody knew who he was, and his hair was very black, and Umar said, فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ, we were very astonished by him. Nobody knows him, there's no signs of a journey upon him, his hair is clean, his clothes are clean, so on and so forth. And then Jibreel alayhi salam, he sat and he asked the Prophet those questions. In that narration, did any one of the companions interrupt? Did any one of the Sahaba say, who are you? What's your name? Where have you come from? Did any one of the companions say to the Prophet, oh Messenger, who was this person? How old was he? Which city was he from? Which tribe was he from? Why? Because it wasn't important. They remained silent. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, هذا جبريل جاءكم يعلمكم أمر دينكم. This was Jibreel. He came to teach you affairs of the religion. So they didn't ask anything about that individual which had nothing to do with their religion. Rather, they benefited from the gathering, and this was in respect. Also, asking questions, or asking the ulama questions which are hypothetical. Like a person says, if this happens, then what would a person do? Well, what if this happens, then what would a person do? And the Salaf, there are narrations where if a person came to them and ask them a hypothetical situation, the imam would say, hal waqa, has this occurred? And they would reply, no, it hasn't occurred. And then they would say, utruku hatta yaqa, leave it up until it occurs, and then come and ask me. And the only exception to this is in education. So if you have a teacher or a sheikh with the students, and just to test his students' knowledge, he says, okay, if a person came and asked you this question, how would you reply? If you were in Hajj and so on so happened, how would you reply? Then that's allowed. Why? Because this is a mode of education which he's teaching and educating his students. Also, the instances when too many questions shouldn't be allowed is asking about other people. What happened to him and what happened to his marriage and what's like that. Don't ask too many questions. Also, asking private questions about a person's life or a person's wage, or issues regarding his wife or his daughter, you don't need to ask those questions. And then finally, asking those questions which don't concern you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, min husni islamil mar from the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern him. Whatever doesn't concern you, then leave it alone. And this is the indicator of a person's goodness, that you don't involve yourselves in things which don't concern you and your religion. And as for the areas in which it is recommended to ask a question, then firstly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah. The more you supplicate to Him, the happier He becomes. So compare Allah to the people. That the people, the more you ask them, the more irritated they become. And Allah, the more you ask Him, the more happier He becomes. And then secondly, asking questions in seeking knowledge. And we mentioned those things which have an effect or relation to your ibadah, and those things which have a relation to your aqeedah. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he was questioned, how did you gain so much knowledge? And Ibn Abbas said, بِقَلْبٍ عُقُولٍ وَلِسَانٍ سُؤُولٍ, by a mind which understands, an intelligent mind which pays attention, which understands, وَلِسَانٍ سُؤُولٍ, and by a tongue which is always asking questions. But questions of benefit, questions which have a direct relation to ibadah or aqeedah. And from the examples of the stories which is mentioned regarding one of the ulama in Andalus, that one day he was teaching the people, and a letter came to him from the ruler of that time. And the ruler of that time, he asked him a question, that the mizan, the scales on the day of resurrection, Allah will reveal scales on the day of resurrection, the two plates of this scale, the ruler, he asked, that will they be made from dhahab or fidda? Will they be made from gold or silver? So this type of question, what does it have to do with your ibadah? What does it have to do with your aqeedah? Does it matter whether it's silver or gold? And the scholar from Andalus, he replied to him. He replied to his question. It's mentioned that he turned the paper over and he wrote the reply. He said that the reply is, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي, from the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern you. So these are the lessons that we take from these ayat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon us beneficial knowledge and righteous actions and rizq, provisions which are halal. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilma. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-ikhlasa fil qawli wal amal. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal, wa na'udhu bika min an-nar wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.